Brother Tyler, good to see you. Sister Bailey, praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Y'all probably forgot where we're studying at because it's been so long since we met. But in case you did, let's go to 1 John chapter 3. That's where we'll find ourselves this morning in the precious Word of God. Man, what a privilege it is to be with you. Thank God I've got most of my voice back. Wasn't that good to begin with, Brother Terry. I hate following Brother Terry and his beautiful Australian accent. I thought Brother Kevin would appreciate that. That's a blessing, Brother. Good job. You helped me. He's not in here this morning. He's probably in security. But he helped me with that study, to show thyself approved, and that challenged me, and I hope that had its effect on you as well. So the book of 1 John, we described as a family letter to a father, you know, the Apostle John, writing to his little children, which he uses that phrase throughout the book. And it would be somewhat of a family constitution, or maybe some things that were said, maybe in a will or something that he was leaving instruction for. And so we get to chapter 3. Well, just as a review real quickly, you know, he said in chapter 1 that he wrote this book that we might have fellowship with him, and that his fellowship was truly with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And then the next verse, in verse 4, he said that we may have joy, Brother Tim. And certainly those two are tied together. I hope y'all appreciate that. That we need fellowship, Brother Justin, in order to have joy. Amen. And Jesus said that, he said, my joy I leave with you, that your joy may be full. That's exactly right. And so we saw that purpose there. We saw the enemy of fellowship and of joy is sin. And that, we'll see that more again today. That word is mentioned more than any other in this book. It repeats throughout the book. And so, if this is a family letter, what we're going to see in chapter 3 is that then there is a family likeness. And we're going to see in the first couple of verses here that we are to look like him. And one day, Brother Zach, good to see you as well. We are going to be like him. Amen. So let's just start with those. Let's read these verses here. Verse 1, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. I taught them at the prison that little chorus there. Man, we love to sing that chorus. That means a lot to me. But man, what a manner of love that we could be called the sons of God. And we continue on in verse 1. It says, therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. I want to note that phrase there at the end of verse 2, as he is, because that is the family likeness. And that produces, in the next verse, we're going to see something. It produces a purification or a purity. Verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purify himself, even as he is pure. So not only do we look like him, we become pure as he is, and that as he is the key phrase there. And then we get down to verse 4 and 5, and it says, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Now that, let's stop there for a second, and let's just look at this, taketh away the sin. I remember, Brother Roger, you probably don't remember this. This is 20 plus years ago for sure, 25 years ago probably. We were sitting in his office, and we were discussing that verse, Brother Kevin, actually, in John 15. About how if a branch doesn't bear fruit, he taketh it away. And I said, what do you think he means by that? And Brother Roger said, well, let's let the dictionary define itself. Let's let the Bible define itself. Let's use it as our dictionary. And so we go to John chapter 1, verse 29. Y'all remember what John the Baptist said when he saw the Lord Jesus out there on the banks of Jordan? He said, behold the Son of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He said, what do you think Jesus did with those sins? I said, well, I think he took them away. Amen. Let's just let the word be clear. So Jesus was manifest here, it says, to take away the sin. Our sin could be taken away, and not just that. But it says, in him is no sin. We got to go back to verse 5 of chapter 1 in this book. And he said that in God there is no darkness, no at all, none at all. And then if we go to, of course, over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, he who hath no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen? And so we see that Jesus Christ, there is no sin in him, amen. But he was manifest to take away our sin. So there is an imputed righteousness here, and we see that. Again, it mentions this down in verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. What does that say? Even as he is righteous. That's the third time we see that phrase, as he is. And Brother Kevin, I appreciate your message last Sunday morning. That helped me. You know, I hadn't looked at, think about the book of Galatians and understanding that, clarifying that salvation is by faith through grace alone, right? Amen. And that was clear, but you know, you're right. There's more in the book about the fact that sanctification comes the same way that our salvation comes. It comes through grace and by faith. Amen. It's of God, and it's not possible unless we have that indwelling Holy Spirit within us, and the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are righteous as he is righteous. The only righteousness that I have is his righteousness. Amen. And it's imputed to my account, Brother Jason. It's placed to my account. I didn't earn it. Can't work for it. It's there because he's there. Amen. And because I'm his. And I'm in him. And he's in me. Praise the Lord. That's a wonderful truth. I hope we never get confused on that. Amen. So there's a, we go on and we see that there's a family genetics as well. So it says, as he is, so we're to be like him. We're going to look like him completely one day, and exactly as he is. And we don't even know what that's going to be like. But then also, we're going to be pure. We should be pure as he is pure because of his righteousness that's in us. And then in verse 8, you know, John doesn't mix words. He's pretty plain. He's pretty straightforward, Brother Tony. He gets right to the point. And so in verse 8, it says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. About that, right? And it says, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now we see again in verse 5, he was manifested to take away sins, take away our sins. And then in verse 8, it says he was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. So what's the works of the devil? Sin, thank you. Exactly. So he took away our sin and he destroyed the devil's work, which was sin. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. Hebrews chapter 2 gives us a little bit more of that about what, why Jesus came and what he did and how he destroyed the devil and his works. And then over there, in, of course, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, it says, Brother John, he made a show of it publicly. He just put it out in front of display for everybody what he did to the devil and to his works, how he destroyed them. Amen. And he did that on the cross. The cross. Can't get away from the cross. So if there's a, I've skipped over there, and I need to, verse 9, I just need to say this. It says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin, because he's born of God. And so there's that family genetics, right? And that seed. And you remember That's mentioned over there in Genesis chapter 3, right? Verse 15. Y'all remember how after Adam sinned and man fell, that God promised that he would send forth a seed. And what a particular type of seed. Matter of fact, Brother Oakley, it doesn't mention this anywhere else in the Bible except for that one verse. It said, the seed of the woman. Every other place, Brother Kevin, is the seed of man. The only time it says the seed of woman is because the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't have the seed of Adam in him. Amen? But now, when we're born again, we got his seed in us. And because of that, now those family genetics change who we are. Amen? And they change what we do and how we behave and how we think. His seed. So a man that has his seed in us, he can't remain in sin. He can't continually commit sin. I mean, he's only got a couple of choices here. The way I see it is if he has the seed of God in him, is that number one, he can't sin and enjoy it, that's for sure. Y'all agree with that? Amen? And if he continues in his sin, certainly God will chasten him and to bring him out of his sin. Don't y'all think a good father would try to turn that out of their children? I know you would, and so will God. Only difference is that, you know, God controls life as well. And ultimately, according to what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that if you continue in sin, you can exit this life early for your own good. Amen. And the good of others and for the name of Christ himself. Amen. And so, you can't continue in sin. When he says that, we know that it's possible for us to sin. But we know we can't continue in it without God troubling our hearts and us wanting to desire to do better, to want to continue to live that type of lifestyle that we did before. I remember when I got saved, I missed it. Boy, those were exciting times. I hope they were exciting for you too. I remember changes were happening so fast. I missed those things, you know. It's like nobody had to tell me, Brother Justin, when I went home, and I don't know how long this was after I got saved, but not very long. And something came on the TV, and I said, "That ain't right." And I said, "What in the world is that doing in my home on my TV?" Now it'd been there the whole time, but all of a sudden now nobody come in and did an inspection. My pastor didn't come in and inspect my house and my television channels or anything else. I wish he would have. It would have been easier, right? But the Holy Ghost showed up and said, "That ain't right." Guess what? That's got to go. So the next day, I'm on the phone with the cable company saying, "You get that off of my TV or else you get rid of the whole thing. It's fine with me either way, but this can't stay." Amen? That's what happens because his seed came in. Nobody had to tell me something, you know, that was wrong. I'll tell you something else. Nobody came to my house and said, "You know, now that you're a Christian, Brother Walker, you ought to go to church for Sunday school." Nobody told me that. Ever. Still, nobody's ever told me that. I'm glad y'all agree with me, though. It's a good idea. If his seed be in us, then we come to Sunday school, right? They didn't tell me that, you know what, you ought to go make time to go back on Sunday night. Nobody told me that. They got service on Wednesday. They didn't have to invite me. I said, I need to be there. His seed bears fruit. Amen. And, yes, sir, Brother John. Thank you, brother. In chapter 2, we went through that. You're exactly right. You don't need a man to tell you those kind of things. It's hard for a man to exist and think and operate outside of his knowledge and experience and his upbringing and all these things, right? That was my upbringing. That's just what God did in my life. And when that doesn't happen with other people, that troubles me. That's not the way it worked with me. Then how is it not if somebody gets saved that they don't see this? How come it doesn't work the same way? I don't understand that. some people are probably wondering why it's taking me so long to figure out some things on my own. So I don't know. Every man's different. But the point is that if Jesus Christ comes into a life and his seed comes in, I think there's going to be a few things that are different, don't y'all? Don't y'all think we maybe think a little bit different? Priorities get rearranged. Anybody, their priorities get changed when they got saved? Amen. You remember that? How you spent your time got a little bit different, right? The way you spent your money went a little bit differently, right? I mean, who you spent time with, where you hung out in, all those things began to change because of the seed that was planted into our life. So we've seen now that Jesus Christ, that all these things are because we are as He is. And that he was manifest to take away our sin, to destroy the works of the devil, which is sin. And then down in verse 10, it says, in this, the children of God are manifest. The third manifestation here is actually Him in us. And it says, and the children of God and the children of the devil. So it seems like here that not only do we have family genetics, but we got a family enemy. Right or right? Yeah, because now we're in the family of God. And guess who God's enemy is? The devil. And guess what? The devil is also the god of this world. So guess what that makes the world to us? An enemy, right? And we got that old flesh and other things that we war against. But it says here that in the children of God are manifest something different than what's in the children of the devil. Because the children of the devil, in verse 10, it says, at the middle of that verse says, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So I hope that this is making sense with us here. So our number one enemy that we face, of course, is sin. And that work is of the devil. The devil is our enemy. The devil is the god of this world, and so the world is now our enemy. Amen. And so, verse 11 says, for this is the message that we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We saw that that's contrary to the children of the devil, because they don't love their brother, and they don't do right. They're not righteous. And verse 12 says that we are to love one another, in verse 11, not as Cain. Now, if you were to ask Cain, the morning he got up on the day he killed Abel, do you love your brother Abel? What do you think he would have said? Of course, he's my brother, right? That's my family. He would say that, right? But what does the Bible say here? We're not to love like Cain. They would have made a profession of it, but what was really in his heart? What was in his heart, Brother David, came out when temptation met opportunity. You see, because what was really in his heart was envy and hatred and the love of darkness. Look what it says here in verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, the devil, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him, because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. What would you think? What word comes to your mind when you hear that? What was he feeling? Envy? Yes. Okay, let's go over to John, the book of Gospel of John, chapter 3. Let's look at this. Hold your place there. We're going to come right back. But let's look at John's other book here earlier, the Gospel. Chapter 3, you remember this conversation Jesus is having with Nicodemus here. It came to him during the night. And he gets over here after he gives us verse 16, which we all know. Then he gets down here to verse 18. He says, he that believeth not on him is condemned already. And then verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Why do men love darkness? It covers their evil. It covers their wickedness, their sin. And then it says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. So wait a minute. Now, Jesus was called the light of the world. Did they hate Jesus? Thank you. Yes, they did. And then we're called. Jesus said we were to be the light of the world. So you think they're going to hate us? Yep, that's what the Bible teaches, okay? We'll get to that in this book, and we'll see it in John's Gospel as well. But look at verse 20 again. He hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. So why did Cain hate Abel? Because Cain's righteousness, Abel's righteousness condemned Cain's wickedness. Verse 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Flip over to now John chapter 15. Keep going to the Gospel of John chapter 15. Jesus says this, verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Right? And then he tells us, hey, don't, you know, you're not, a servant's not going to be higher than his master. Go back to 1 John chapter 3. So, can we agree this morning then that we have some enemies? Yes or yes? And that evil hates light, okay? And so that if we are light, if Christ is living through us, just as they hated him, there will come times when they hate us. When will that be different? Well, when you can give them something. You know what I'm saying? In other words, I mean, the world is self-serving, right? And so when a child of God is helpful to the world, then they'll certainly be glad for that. They'll appreciate that, right? But they won't appreciate the light. The light will condemn their darkness. And so the truth, and you know, those verses are sometimes troubling because sometimes it seems like the world just pretty friendly with us. And that probably is not a good thing. But look what it says here about in verse 13. Marvel not, my brethren, that the world hates you. Don't be surprised by this. It says, verse 14, but we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. For he that loveth not his brethren abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And we know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So the contrary of that is that we love our brother. Contrasted with the children of the devil who do not. And how do we know now if we love our brother? Let's look at verse 16. It says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. I was thinking about that verse over there in John 3, verse 16. It didn't say, for God so loved the world that God said so. Did it? No. What did he do? He gave. That's different than I say I love you, but I don't have the actions to support it. This is the difference here. The love of God, he's proven his love toward us, has he not? I mean, what else would God need to do to prove his love to us? Right? He loves the entire world, Brother Johnny. He sent his son here so it's possible that every man would have the opportunity to become a son of God, to become the child of God, to be saved, to be born again, experience fellowship with him, have an eternity in heaven. That would be possible because God loved the world. But when a person becomes literally a child of God through the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross, then that's different. That's even now. That giving doesn't stop there. You understand? It continues on. And that love continues on. We perceive the love of God because, look at this. I believe John, Brother Kevin, was convinced that Jesus was God. Because look what it says. It says, we perceive the love of God that he laid down his life for us. That God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, laid down his life for us. And if that be true, it says, and if we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now I doubt, seriously, probably anybody in this room is going to have the opportunity to lay down actually their life for their brother. That's a rare event, wouldn't y'all say? That's a rare thing. But I think we all have the opportunity to sacrifice something. In other words, if the life, our life would be the supreme sacrifice, right? What about a lesser sacrifice? What about sacrificing some of our time in prayer for our brethren? That might be a sign of love, Sister Debbie, don't you think? Amen. What if we were to sacrifice a little bit of our resources? Brother Justin's not in here, but Brother Justin, maybe his talent, his ability, you know, to use what he's learned, what he knows, what he can to help the brother. Wouldn't that be considered a sacrifice? You know, wouldn't that be evidence of love? You know, I mean, when I was thinking about, you know, last week we weren't here because we were down in Florida. Watching Rilla and Faith and Tim graduate. And I told Rhonda, I said, when Faith graduated, I said, there's fruit to your sacrifice. And, you know, in all those years, and, you know, Sister Barbara, she had to give up some things. She had to give up running the roads. She had to give up career. She had to give up any of these other things to focus on that. But you know, when I asked her about it, this is the interesting thing about sacrifice out of love. She said, I loved it. Every minute of it. It was some of the best years of my life. Wish I could go back and do it again. It doesn't seem like a sacrifice when it's done out of love. See? And you don't go counting and saying, I gave this up. Or I gave it up. No, you're not sad about that. You're like, man, I got this. I got that. So, giving is a sign of love. Sacrifice is evidence, according to the Word of God. This is how we perceive love, is through sacrifice. There's evidence of it. Look down in verse 17. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion, the compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? If we were on trial today for loving our brother, would there be enough evidence that we could be convicted? Or is it just hearsay? You know, hearsay is not very strong evidence, is it, Brother Roger? Now, you need some physical evidence. Say, yep, that man right there, that woman right there, they're guilty. They're convicted. They definitely love their brother. As of this, this, and this. When there was a need, you know, when you were having your double meat, double cheese, hamburger, large fries, and big sweet tea, and you saw your brother starving, you didn't pray for them. Say, Lord, give them some food. Help them, Lord. Give them strength. Right? Y'all get where I'm going with this, don't you? I think we got a bunch. We got more than we need. Amen? Is there somebody around us that doesn't? That's all we're doing. We're just looking for God opportunities. I mean, brother, I can't serve those people I don't know, Brother Kevin. I can't do anything about the people I don't know about their need, right? But I can about the ones next to me, the ones that the Lord brings into my path, the ones that are connected to me in some way when I see a need. But what an opportunity. And boy, I'd say most of you in here, as far as I can tell, you love to do that because we've had needs in this church, and man, it's like tremendous. It's like, you know, it seems like me, Brother Roger, that most of us are just sitting on go waiting on opportunity. Say, man, this, Lord, that's what I was waiting on. I was wondering what you gave me this extra money for. I was wondering what I had that time for or whatever, that resource for. Now I know. I want to use it, right? So I thank God that you guys are like that. That's why I love this church. And that's why I love being a part of that church. I love being around givers. Helps me. Amen. It helps me a lot. I like being around you, Brother Oakley. You're a giver. He's like, he's looking for opportunities. Well, I'll tell you what, he's better at finding opportunities than I am. That's what. That's the only thing. I don't like that about you, brother. You need to help me. You know, sometimes we don't find opportunities because we're just not looking hard enough. You know, or really, we don't have our ears out quite as much as we should. People that are really gifted to give, they're looking. They're looking for opportunities. So I appreciate that about you guys. And so let's move along here. It says, verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. Now, something about truth, guys, and this fact here of us sacrificing. You know, because that's not natural. You understand what I'm saying? Sacrifice is not, it's the natural man. What's he all about? He's about preservation. And even a lot of things that he does, even though they're good, they're still about him. You know, but to give when it costs you something and there's no upside or benefit to it, that's unnatural. So that's supernatural. That's a God thing. And so when that happens, look what it does for us. It says in verse 19, hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Verse 24, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. That requires faith, by the way, right there. You know, doing right doesn't always feel right. Yes or yes? Doing right doesn't always feel right. But you can't trust your feelings. That's why we need the truth, Brother Kevin. That's why he said, we got to have the truth, okay? You love in deed and in truth. And then when you do that, even if it don't feel right, God is greater than your heart because by faith you can see you obeyed God. Sometimes things don't turn out the way you hope. Y'all ever notice that? So you sacrifice and you do something and then it don't work out right. And then what are you going to do? Well, you got to go back to faith and say, did you do it for the right motives? Was it what God wanted you to do? The best of your understanding? Then you have to trust God. God is greater than your heart. He's greater than your feelings. He's greater than your conscience. He can help you even if you're, you know, if you're a person that has a sensitive conscience toward God, and I hope you do, sometimes things trouble you that don't trouble God. And then God is able to overcome that in you and help you to get over that. But look at the next verse. It says, for those things that are not like that, it says, verse 21, but if our heart condemn us not, oh, now, then we have confidence toward God. And this confidence produces something. Look what it produces. It produces what Brother Lauren shared with the teenagers the other night, PIP. I said, what's PIP? In my industry, I thought it was personal injury protection. He said, no, that's power and prayer. I said, I like that. I'm going to use that. I said, power and prayer. It gives us power and prayer. Look what it says here. It says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. So we got two sides of this thing. You got what's clearly written and you do those, and that's the thou shall and thou shall not. There's the sins of omission that we avoid and the sins of commission that we avoid. Amen. We're doing what God said and not doing what he said. No, don't do. But then look at, there's the other. And this is where men like Brother Kevin and Brother Roger operate. And sometimes when they're preaching, I'm like, where's that in the verse? And I'm trying to see it. It's like in between the lines. I don't know where they get. I want to borrow your Bible sometimes. But look, there's the things that it says we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So there's some things we know about God. And we don't have to have a written word to know that we were created to please him. There are some things we know about him that are pleasing to him. We don't have to have a commandment for that because we want to please him. Because that's the reason we were actually created according to Revelation 4, chapter 11. Isn't that right? Amen. So we say we keep His commandments, and we do those things that are pleasing for us. And boy, John, I told you, he's very plain and very direct, but he's also very direct to the point. He gets right to the point here. Let's simplify this, guys. You want something to take home with you today? This is very plain, straightforward, and easy. I didn't say easy to do, easy to understand. Here's the commandment. Y'all ready for it? Verse 23. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Pretty simple. Exercise faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe it. What He said, who He said He is, He is. What He said He was like, He is. What He did is true. Amen? And sufficient. And number two, love your brother. Love your brother. Simple enough, isn't it? That gives us that assurance, man. What an amazing thing, that assurance. I love that. We need assurance. I feel bad for people that don't have assurance. That really cripples a person. You need to be certain about some things. And this is it. This is how we do it. By keeping His commandments, doing those things pleasing His sight. Here's His commandment. Believe on Jesus Christ and love your brother. Verse 24. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him. There's the key. And he in Him. So He dwells in us, we dwell in Him. We're in Him, He's in us. And it says, and hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. Thank God for that. I was thinking about that old song, you know, trust and obey. There's no other way. Be happy in Jesus. And that's pretty good advice right there. That's pretty good truth. Trust and obey. And that abiding, that fellowship with Him and with His Spirit. So hereby we know that He abideth with us by the Spirit which He hath given us. Amen. I hope that makes sense. Next week, we got a couple more chapters here. And next week, you'll know that chapter 4 is about the love of God. And there's no way I can really give that justice, but we're going to try, you know, that at least point you in a direction that exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's a hard thing to grasp. But I pray that God will help you and thank you for being here. And again, you know, one of the things that made the biggest difference for me early in my Christian walk was when God just started showing me that I need to be in service. And you know what? Those men, I so sure appreciate them that taught me back in those days. And I'm pretty sure, Brother Tim, they didn't have everything exactly right. But you know what? They knew more than I did. And boy, and they helped me. And that's what we got to do. We got to just keep looking for people to get around. You know, that's another thing. Man, I remember something else God did for me. Is I like to be around men of God. Men are ahead of me in my faith. And I remember when you came in the office the first time, Brother Roger, I was gone that day. And I was going over my files and looking at the patients, and I saw that Roger Hoos, and I said, he wrote on there, he's a Baptist preacher. He didn't just say he's a preacher, he said he's a Baptist preacher. I said, that Baptist preacher came in while I was gone? I said, man, of course he was referred by Sister Cindy, you know, thank you for that referral, Sister. I appreciate that. But I said, I wanted to get to know him. I wanted to know what he was like. I wanted to see what he believed. I wanted to check his spirit. You know what I'm saying? And see how I could be a blessing to him. You know, and see if he could help me. Guess what? Turned out, at least the second part was true. He sure helped me a lot. That was a godsend. But you never know what God's going to do. Just keep going down that road. Let Him lead you. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You for the time that we have in Your Word. Thank You for what You've already done for us, Lord, in Christ, in our hearts, in our lives. And thank You for what You're going to do, Lord, as we follow You and obey You, Father. There's no, there. I mean, we can't even imagine, Lord, Lord, what you have before us, Lord. But whether it appear to be good or whether it appear to be bad, Lord, at the time, Lord, we know that your Spirit is with us, Lord, as we obey these things we heard today. Thank you for the truth, Lord. Thank you, God, for the indwelling Spirit of God. Pray that he would have his way in the services to come today, Lord, in our hearts, in our family time, everything that happens today, in the fellowship even tonight, Lord, in the celebration. Lord, may it be thanksgiving to you, Lord. And to thank you again and for everything for this church. In Christ's name, amen.